Now, if that volume was not enough, Winter Jam will cure that, but it gets you ready for it. You know, I've told you for a couple of weeks that we have a focus this year at Maple Grove. We are going to spend every time that we meet, Wednesdays, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, any other days that we can meet, we're going to be learning about the kingdom. We're going to be learning about the King. And the focus on Sunday morning is kingdom living. How does Jesus want us to live? See, here's the thing. If we have a King, we want to know that King, don't we? We want to know what that King wants because we want to please the King. We want to do what the King says. We want the King's protection. We want the King's love. We want to adore the King. So that's what we're going to talk about today, really. We're going to meet the King. Next week, we're going to get into the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to get into things that the King says. But today, we're going to meet that King. And our King came as a shepherd. That was not the way, as you guys know from our Christmas season, it was not the way people expected this King to come. They expected this great military ruler, this great strong person who would come and crush the Roman Empire. But that's not what happened, and that's not what God said was going to happen. Our King came as a shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? He governs sheep. He cares for sheep. We are the sheep. We are the followers of this King. And I want to, you know, it's sad that we don't live in that kind of society where all these sheep stories make sense to us right off the bat. You know, some of us have trouble even considering about a King, because all the kings we can think of, we might really not want to follow and not want to be that close to. But we got to remember, this is our heavenly King. This is our heavenly King forever. So we need to understand what this King is like. And He's going to describe Himself to us today in four different sayings, and they're all going to be about sheep. So they're in your bulletin, and we're going to come back later and go through each one of these, but I want you to get a sense for what He says first of all. Number one, He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. If you're following in your bulletin, you can fill those blanks in now or later. But I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. Second saying is, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Then third, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then the fourth one is going to be, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, when you hear those four sayings of Jesus, and He talked more about sheep, but when you hear those four, do you get the sense of dependence that the sheep are supposed to have on the shepherd? And let me tell you something about sheep. For those of you, I know some of you have raised them, some of you may have them now. Sheep are, they're pretty helpless, right? And they're not real bright either. In fact, they're some of the stupidest creatures on the face of the planet. But they have one thing, and we were going to come to this, they have one characteristic that is central to our understanding the concept that Jesus is trying to convey. And that one characteristic you will see through this is they know their master. They know their master. When their master says come, they come. When their master says stop, they stop. When their master says eat, they eat. When their master says drink, they drink. So they know the voice of the master, they know who he is, they know the shepherd, and they follow what the shepherd says. So I want you to go back in time a little bit in your mind, and I want you to think, okay, we're back in a society where sheep, this is a sheepfold, you're going to see this in a minute, but we're going to talk about sheep, shepherds, and sheepfolds this morning. And through that, you will get a picture of who your king is. And I hope that, and I pray that by listening to this and understanding who our king is and what he expects, it will incentivize you to get into this next part of the Sermon on the Mount, of listening to the king and saying, I want to please my king. I want to glorify my king. I want to live the way that my king says you should live. Because when we live that way, when we live kingdom living style is what we're going to call it. When we live as members of the kingdom of God, even today, we're going to be different. We're going to show something to the world that it does not have that glorifies God. And that is the purpose of kingdom living. That is the purpose of all these sayings of Jesus Christ, to get us to follow Him. Like sheep follow their master. So let's look at the first one in detail. Jesus says in the first one in John 10:11, He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. So you see, Jesus starts by calling Himself the good shepherd. Now, when you read that, what does it tell you? What's the first thing you think? Well, yeah, but there must be some shepherds that maybe aren't so good, right? So Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. And one of the characteristics of this good shepherd is that he gives his life for the sheep. So I want you to understand what the shepherd does. These shepherds, when Jesus was saying this, they were responsible for everything that happened to these sheep. They had to feed them. They had to water them. They had to lead them to pasture. They had to protect them. They had to go after one, as you know from the story. If one sheep goes astray, the shepherd chased down that one sheep, even though the 99 would be left behind for a while. In essence, every single facet of the sheep's life was under the care of that shepherd. So you would think a good shepherd would take care of all those things, right? Well, unfortunately, that's not what was happening. So I want you to turn back to Ezekiel chapter 34 in the Old Testament, and we're going to meet the bad shepherds. We're going to meet the shepherds that didn't care for the sheep. We're going to meet the shepherds that caused God to send Jesus Christ to be the good shepherd. Now, as we listen to what these bad shepherds did, I want you to remember what the good shepherd does. He lays down his life for his sheep, which means if you are one of his sheep, Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. You can't get any more loving than to sacrifice your own life for another. And particularly when Jesus was completely fault-free, he had no sin. But he lovingly became sin for us. He was nailed to that tree, like we sang, for our sins. He did not deserve to be there. We did, because of sin. And what was happening is the religious leaders at that time, the false religious systems, they had built up a system where they were not taking care of the sheep. So in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 6, we see God giving Ezekiel a prophecy. It says, And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. You see the bad shepherds in that? These people who were given care of the people, these people who were told, I want you to be the shepherd of my people, had completely abandoned the responsibility. They weren't caring for them. They weren't feeding them. They weren't protecting them. They weren't giving them drink. But God loves His sheep. And God said, I'm not going to put up with that anymore. Look down in verse 11. He says, for thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. You're not going to do it, he said, I will. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. So God's promising, I'm going to take care of my sheep. I'm going to fix all of the things that you don't have as a sheep. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to bring you back into my fold. Look down at verse 23 then. And this tells how he's going to do it. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. So this is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, coming to do that which should have been done all along, but wasn't. You see, the sheep got lost. The sheep got lost in the system. And the system is not what's important to God. The sheep are what's important to God. You and I and every one of those people who believe in Him are His sheep. And we are the ones that are important to Him. How important, this last part of the verse is, the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. So you think about those bad shepherds. Were they going to give their lives for the sheep? They weren't even giving the sheep food. They weren't protecting the sheep at all. They weren't doing anything that a shepherd is supposed to do. But our good shepherd, our King, says, I'm coming and I am the good shepherd. I'm not like those bad shepherds. I'm going to do so much that I will even lay down my life for you. You want a king like that? Is this a king you would listen to? If you knew this king, if you knew that he loved you so much that he gave himself for you, you're going to listen to a king like that? I pray you do. That's the challenge. Jesus is telling us all of this so that we listen to him. But there's a second step, and the second principle we have to see is this one. saying number two. He says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. So he reiterates, I am the good shepherd. John 10:14. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. How many of you guys have pets? How many of you have more than one of the same kind of pet? Okay, can you tell them apart? Yeah, you can, right? How do you tell them apart? Well, you know, one's fat, one's skinny, one's blonde, one's black, one's brown. All our cats are fat, so we can't use that one. But there's different things that we would use to distinguish between animals. And in fact, if you've got even cows, you guys that have cows, they're different. They may all be Holsteins or Angus or whatever, but they're different cows. Look, Jesus says, I know my sheep. And I am known by my own. Your king knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows every single sin you committed, are committing right now, if you are, and will commit in the future. But you know what he also knows? He loves you in spite of all of that. You got nothing to hide from Jesus. You can't hide anything from Jesus Christ. He knows everything about you, but he still loves you. How much does God know you as his sheep? Luke 12 tells us that he even knows how many hairs we have on our head. Easier for some than others, right? I don't know how many hairs I have on my own head. God knows how many hairs we have. That's how much he knows every little thing about us. So he's doing his part. I know my sheep. Do we know him? What do we know about him? And it's not just what do we know about him. It's not just facts and figures and statistics. Do we know him? Do we know him as our shepherd? Do we recognize him as our king? Do we recognize him as the one voice? And I say one voice, we're getting into that one in a second, but as the one voice that we should follow, the one voice that we should respond to. Again, if my king is the king who will lay down his life for me, who knows everything about me and loves me still, don't I want to know that king? That's the challenge, and that's what we're going to do this year. That's what we're going to learn this year. We're going to know our King. If you already know Him better. If you don't know Him, this is an invitation to you today and for the rest of your life. You need to get to know this King. Understand who this King is. He is your shepherd. The third saying that Jesus gave we want to look at is John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, we've talked about sheep not being the brightest animals, but the amazing thing is they know the voice of their shepherd. There's been all kinds of experiments. There's one where, you know, you'll have a real shepherd on one side of the sheepfold and somebody else on the other. The false shepherd will call out. Sheep don't even look up. The real shepherd says something, sheep look up. The greatest one, and they do not have this on video, I wish they did, they took a recording of the real shepherd's voice. And they played the recording at one end of the sheepfold and the real shepherd sat on the other side. And in this one, when the recording started, it was the real shepherd. The sheep kind of looked up. You could tell they weren't comfortable. And sheep are really weird if you watch them. They don't do anything if they're not comfortable. They have to be at rest. So they're kind of like, sounds like our shepherd, but not quite. And then the real shepherd talked from the other end, and they're like, oh, that's our guy, and they went that away. What I do have on video, and I know we've seen this in the Sunday school class, but I want you guys to watch this next video. What happens in this video is there are three people who try to go up and call sheep. They try their best to get the sheep to respond to them, and then you're going to see the real shepherd go up and call the sheep. And I want you to watch the sheep and just see what happens. This is something we miss because we don't know sheep. But this is the way sheep really are, and this is the way that we should respond to our one true shepherd.
One more time.
Oh, one is.
Oh, good.
Look at them, look at them.
They are coming. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe this. Oh my God. This is the first. Oh my God. This is amazing.
One more. Oh my God. This scared them.
Yeah, Eunice made him go away.
Oh my God.
Was that cool or what?
Yeah.
You will never have the same again.
Bring it real. I mean, those three people tried to get the sheep just to respond. If you'll notice, the sheep didn't even raise their head. But the real shepherd goes out there, up, ooh, wait a minute, we're eating, it's time to go. They come over here, they follow that shepherd. You see, when Jesus said this, when he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, everybody back then would have seen that exact vision. And now you've seen it, and I hope you understand that's what he wants. Now, there's a lot of components to this, and we're going to build out on this in the coming year. But number one, we are to, just like those sheep, we are to know our shepherd's voice and respond when he calls. You saw the sheep do that. These not bright animals. They would have followed anybody. You know, if you give a dog, if you raise a stake out there or you yell at a dog, they might come. Sheep are dumber than dogs. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't respond to another person's voice. They knew their shepherd's voice. So the second thing is, we are supposed to distinguish between the voices we hear and our true shepherd's voice. So what other voices do we hear? Well, you hear the voice of the world. You hear the voice of society saying, oh, this is the way you should be. Do we want to listen to that voice, or do we want to listen to our King who says, this is the way I want you to live? I want to listen to my King. We may hear even false voices. That's what Jesus talked about, beware false shepherds. We may hear people saying something that's contrary to what Jesus says Are we going to listen to them because we like it? We're going to listen to them because it makes us feel good? Or are we going to listen to our true shepherd and our true king? We need to listen to our true shepherd and true king. So we've got to distinguish that voice. We've got to be like those sheep. But it also explains something else. You ever wonder why somebody can hear the gospel and doesn't respond? It's because the shepherd that is speaking to them is not their shepherd. And that's a sad fact. We all recognize that we should all be Jesus' sheep. He is the good shepherd. But there are some people who will not hear Him because they do not acknowledge Him as their Lord, they do not acknowledge Him as their Savior, and they do not acknowledge Him as the good shepherd. He's a good teacher. He was a prophet. He was a great philosopher. He was a great man. But He's not their good shepherd. Is He yours? If He is not your shepherd today, please listen to what He has told you about what He will do, how He will rule your life. And you know, some people think that's scary. It's not scary when He is the good king and the good shepherd, and everything that He does is for your benefit. So we need to think about that video, and we need to think about those sheep responding to only one voice, and that is the one we need to respond to. Now, sometimes we may have a difficult time figuring out which one is His. The more time you spend with Him, the better you will know that soft, still voice. It is rarely going to be the one screaming at you. It's going to be that soft, still voice. It's going to be the one that brings peace. It's going to be the one that brings comfort. But we have to learn to recognize His voice. We have to be like the sheep and learn who our Master is, and then we have to be like the sheep and respond when only He calls. And then finally, there's one more principle that He gave us, and this is number 4. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." Now, this one's a little harder for us to understand. What door is He talking about? Well, He's talking about the door of what was called a sheepfold. Let me show you a picture of a first century sheepfold that is preserved. This is a sheepfold. This is where the sheep would be led into. Anybody notice anything missing? Well, okay, fair point, Charlie. The sheep are missing. The gate, yeah. Jesus is, there's no gate. There's no gate. Now, today, how many of you got corrals at home? Got gates on them? Yep, you do. There's no gate on these. There never were back in the day. So let's understand why. This was a sheepfold, and what would happen is the shepherds would roam around, and when it came time to shelter the sheep, they would find the nearest empty sheepfold. They would lead the sheep in through the narrow gate, and they would be in there. Just right, ready, easy prey for the wolves, right? Anybody thinking that? That's a trick question. Good. All right. So here's what Jesus said. Remember this picture. And let's look at that saying of Jesus again. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved and will go in and out to pasture. So why didn't those sheepfolds have doors? It's because the shepherd was the door. Y'all get that? That is key. The shepherd himself was the door. He lets the sheep in one way. He lets the sheep out one way. if anything or anybody is going into that sheepfold, they have to go through who? The shepherd. Now, the bad shepherds, here come the wolves. What did the bad shepherds do? They scattered, they ran. But not the good shepherd, because the good shepherd has already told us, I will lay down my life for my sheep. Understand, he is the door. And listen to what that verse says. If anyone enters that sheepfold by me, he will be saved. There's people try to get in that sheepfold all kinds of other ways. You could jump in from the top. You could climb up that side. You can try to get in all kinds of ways. Jesus says that doesn't work. You have to enter by me. You see, we have a verse all around this church where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we know that verse, right? But apply it now to this sheepfold. I am the one way in. I am the one way to life. And no one comes to the Father but through my one door. And I'm that door. Here's the other thing. This is my favorite fact about this, the way they did things back then. At night, where did the shepherd sleep? He slept in the door. He's laying across that door where nobody gets in to harm those sheep. Sheep don't get out either. He's protecting those sheep. So whether it be day or night, if the sheep are in that sheepfold, he is there to provide for them. He is there to protect them. He is there to make sure they are safe. And he says, if you come into this sheepfold by me, you will be saved and you will go in and out and find pasture. You'll find provision, but you will be saved. He is the door. I hope that these simple lessons about sheep have shown you something about how simple believing in Jesus Christ can be. We tend to complicate things, don't we? This is simple. Sheep are not complex animals. They don't really have a lot of intellect. They're going to do one thing, and that's follow their shepherd. And that's what we're supposed to do. So that's the real simple lesson. He is the sole means by which we get to approach the Father. Jesus Christ is the only way that we get in that sheepfold and are saved. He is the only way we get to the Father. He is the only way we get to heaven. He is the only way that we have eternal life. He is our King and He is our Shepherd. So my question to you today is, do you know this King? Do you know this Shepherd? Do you know Him? Not about Him, but do you know Him? If you do not know Him, we want to introduce you to Him and get you to know Him more and more. That is what 2023 is about. It's what your life from this point forward should be about. Getting to know Him more and more, because this King is a good King. This King is the only King who has ever laid down His life for you. And please rest assured, He's already done it. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for us. He is the one that says, when God looks at us and sees us, He goes, that He's one of mine, or she's one of mine. God sees Jesus' righteousness when He sees us, if we are children of His. If we have accepted Him as King, as Lord and Savior, God sees His Son when He looks at us. And His Son says, this is the way I want you to live. I'm going to tell you in the longest sermon I'm ever going to preach. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. He says, I'm going to tell you how I want you to behave. I'm going to tell you how I want you to live. I'm going to tell you how I want you to respond to persecution. I'm going to tell you how I want you to deal with all kinds of problems. Will you listen to me? And we now know that we will listen to him if we are his sheep. So if you're sitting here today and you're like, I'm not his sheep, but I heard him just now. Come up. Wherever you stand, wherever you're sitting, say, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. See, Jesus came to fix a problem that we have that keeps us from entering that sheepfold by ourselves, and that's called sin. We can't get through that door without him because of sin. But he came to take away that sin, and he promises us that if we put our faith in him, that he will forgive us of each and every one of our sins. If you're here today and you've been a Christian, you've been one of his sheep, maybe you're one of those that's straying a little bit away. He's seeking you. He's calling you back. He wants you back in his family. He wants you back in his church. He wants you back in his rule. So it is a challenge. You know, Jesus never begged anybody to do anything. He put his word out there and he said, respond. So if you're a sheep, if you're not a sheep, he's calling us to do something today. And I pray that you will respond however it is that he is calling you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the simplicity of the gospel. It is not always easy to accept. We try to make it more complicated than it really is. But Lord, I pray that each and every one in here has acknowledged you as the good shepherd, has said, I am a sinner and I need you as my Lord and Savior because I want eternal life with you. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to spend eternity in heaven. And Lord, you've made it so clear that there's only one way for that to happen. We have to come through that door. We have to come through the good shepherd. If there's anyone here who has not made that commitment, I pray they would do it today. Father, sometimes as sheep, we go off. But we know that you are faithful to follow us, to chase us down, even if you have to leave the rest for a second. And you come and you find us. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Pray that you would always reveal yourself to us. And Lord, I pray that we would learn your voice. And that we would learn only your voice needs to be followed. And Lord, I pray that we would always follow your voice. Guide us and direct us in all things as we do kingdom living for your glory. And this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.